there's nothing worse than sitting there and thinking you're the only one that has to deal with this. You know, you're the only one that can't sit down and focus. You're the only one that can't organize the things in your life. Well, that's not true. There are thousands and millions of us who are struggling with that too. And so what we can do is we come together as a community. And from there, we can just support one another. It's beautiful.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show.
Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's
invisible.
If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like?
If you're wondering right now where your glasses are, you're probably in the right place.
This show has a mission.
Demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all.
Stuff isn't rocket science, people.
Today, I'm pleased to introduce Mark Dillon of Organized Mindfully Podcast and OrganizedMindfully.com and author of Organized Mindfully, 7 Steps to Create and Maintain Order in Your Life. So, hi, Mark. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
So I've asked you to join me today because my podcast and my business, I'm an ADHD coach. And one of the things that my clients and I talk about in almost 80%, 90% of the sessions, the organization comes up. It comes up whether they're struggling to find a system or they have had systems that worked for a while and then failed them, or there does seem to be this never-ending quest for how do I do this? Because in the ADHD brain, this isn't happening subconsciously. It has to happen consciously. So this is all you do, right? This talking about organizing?
I love talking about organizing.
I love that.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that the brain doesn't do this. I think it's fascinating that we're told, you know, when we're younger to go and organize your toys or go clean your room and those kinds of things. But nobody really takes the time to just show us how do we organize? How do we do these kinds of things? And so it's been fascinating that we're taught that we're supposed to know how to do this, but how? We're not taught, and you know, we're not expected to know how to do anything. We're not expected to know how to ride a bicycle unless somebody shows us how. And so that's something I've been exploring along the lines with Organize Mindfully in the podcast, is asking people, you know, how do you do this? Because what works for you might not work for me. And I think that that's one of the things that we each need to look at, what works for us. And also when we get into organizing, each of the systems might be different. I might like to organize my books in alpha order, or I might like to organize them by color or by height or by frequency of use. And that's the kind of stuff that we start to explore of what works for me and what works for you. And they can be completely different, but it's for each of us to understand what it is that works for us.
Yeah. And you know, when you said that, I also thought about also what works for you in one area may not work for you in another area. Like I know my closet is more like colorized and then also seasonalized, like spring and then winter kind of thing. But I would never colorize other things in my house, which now I think about, I don't know why. I just doesn't come to me that way.
But that's the beauty of it, because you've seen what works for you with your clothing, and that's fine. That system for that particular area works, and that's part of what we look at in using mindfulness as a way to see what does work, not just to say, okay, it has to be in color order, and it must be alphabetical by color, so blue first, and then cranberry is next. No, it's not that way. It's to really be mindful. Okay, in this situation, I like my clothing in this order, and when it comes to filing my spices, I like them in this order. That's right. Okay, because we've taken the time to kind of see that.
Right, right. So I also was so drawn to you in the podcast, and I'm going to have all my clients listen to you because of the mindful aspect of it. It's not just, oh, here's another organization system, you know, 5 steps, or your seven steps, you know, those are easy to digest and to try and memorize. Either they resonate with you or they don't. But the whole aspect of mindfulness comes up in all of my, you know, coaching. So, how did you put those two together?
Well, it really came from my own experience. I have, for the last 9 years, been the facilities manager for a meditation center here in the United States, the Insight Meditation Society. And as the manager of the facility, what I am in charge of basically is the housekeeping department, the maintenance department, groundskeeping, and all the renovations. So it's really the people that care for that physical space. And over the years, what I've seen is that by having things in order and things in their place and keeping things simple, that allows people who come on retreat to practice mindfulness and to practice meditation. It's something that if we have a million things going on in the room and there's piles of things everywhere, it's hard for us to be calm and be at ease and to see the thoughts that are going on in our head. And I often feel like it's a reflection of the thoughts that are going on in our head can also be seen in the stuff that surrounds us. And I'm not sure which comes first, if it's the disorder outside or the disorder in our minds and the thoughts that go on, but they might just work together. And I see that by bringing the space into order, at least for me, it allows me that opportunity. If the space around me is simple and organized, I can see all the thoughts that are going on and I don't have to get as caught up in them. It's just a nice balancing way. And so I've worked at that center for now 9 years and seen how they both support one another. And it's been fun. I've always had the ability to organize things, although at times I can be just as messy as anybody else with the things in my life. But I have a way of seeing it and putting it back together fairly easily.
I think that's wonderful. And with the mindfulness then comes intention. And that's where I usually start with my clients when they're trying to organize, is to think of, and I heard this in some of your shows I've listened to, a lot of people are like, well, where does that, how does it function for you? Where does that belong? Like, where would you like it to be? How would you like to think about this? How would you like to intentionally incorporate it into your, they haven't maybe always used the language of intention, but like, you know, that sort of, let's think about this, really think about where you're putting something and what you want out of it.
Yeah. What is my goal? What do I want to do here? If taking your closet as an example, do I want to go through my closet and dig through clothing to find the blouse that I want to wear today, which then means I have to iron it, to start to really look at, oh, well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to be able to open my closet and take out tomorrow's clothing and have it ready for me when I wake up. Well, that takes some effort. And so how do we start doing that? Well, the first is to sit down and have that intention or that hope of, this is where I'd like to go with this. I'd like to be able to just open up my closet and take out my clothing tomorrow without it taking 45 minutes.
Right. Well, so I thought, when you interview all these people with all these different strategies and systems, I'm curious if you see trends.
Well, I guess one of the trends I see is we all work with organization and disorganization at different levels. And that what we're doing is everything in life changes. And it's the same with organization. No matter how good you get it right now, it won't stay like that. We don't live in the magazine covers. And so to accept that and just simply to know that allows less pressure on ourselves. And I think that what happens is people get themselves set up for that potential failure because they're thinking it always has to be this way. Everything has to be perfect. No, that's not possible. That's not reality. That's not living. That is a magazine cover. So knowing that, okay, I can have things go into disorder, but I can get them back in order, because once you've done it, the next time, like everything, the next time it becomes a little bit easier. So everything can get out of order and I can put it back in order. It might take me 3 days next time. And then the next time it gets out of order, it might take me 2 days. And then eventually I can get it down to much quicker, because what we start to learn is little tips and techniques that we can do along the way. Oh, I won't let all the clothing pile up here. I'll stop that part of this process. And it's just a constant learning and a constant changing in our life. It's not that we're going to change drastically overnight. It's small steps along the way.
Right. So do you work with people also to help? I see the book that you have.
Working on the book.
Coming out, right? Yeah.
That's coming exciting. Out someday. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you're obviously you're sort of in your mind coming up with a system or like a strategy that you really works for you. But do you work with other people in helping them organize?
No, not yet. This has been something that the podcast really has taken off in ways that I didn't expect. I've been working on the book. I have the basic seven steps and I have a lot of it put together. And I was looking at the podcast as a way to promote and start talking about organizing and really didn't have a long-term plan of where the podcast would go. But as I started to release it, all of a sudden it just exploded and it was like, okay, this is taking off. So now this becomes my focus for a while, and the book will get there. It has to, because that's what I want to do. And I'm loving talking about organizing and to hear from people all over the world. I was actually just looking yesterday. It's being listened to in 143 countries around the world. Now, to me, that just blows me away that there's only, depending on if you count Taiwan, which for some reason they're not counting Taiwan right now, then it's 195 countries in the world. It's like, wow, this is incredible. Overnight, somebody in the Russian Federation is listening to me. I mean, that's amazing to me, and it's fun and exciting. And it, as I tell people, if you want to get me talking about things for a long time, we can talk about organizing or we can talk about James Taylor and his music. Either way, I can go for hours and have a great time. So I'm loving talking about organizing, and that's where we're going with it. And
I love it.
Get there. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that you've really touched on well, it sounds obvious. Sometimes I laugh at myself. I say, I am the master of the obvious, but or Captain Obvious, like you see on those commercials. But, you know, this is a theme that is so universal.
Yeah.
And because as humans, we strategize, we plan, we organize. It's one of the very fundamental things that we do. Just even at high levels, people can, you know, organize schools and curriculum and people management and moving. There's so many things to organize.
Yeah. Our entire lives, we try to organize and control it, which, you know, we can do our best with that, but it really, the things in our life, that's the key, is to start organizing that. And then from there, our life can get a little bit simpler and we can start focusing on our life. You know,
Seems to come almost directly after problem solving. Like what we do, we problem solve. Well, one of the problems is organizing.
Yeah.
So constantly. And then, like I said, with a lot of my clients, I hear this sort of, I guess it's like this longing for holding on to, you know, finding it, this will work as if it's not a constant process of, so I really liked how you said that. It's just a constant, it's fluid. Organizing is a fluid kind of situation.
It is fluid. And even some of the things that, you know, that it constantly works. I think of, I use the example of my keys to get into the house and for the Jeep. And I hang them up on a hook right inside the door. And so in a sense, that's a constant, but it's not 100%. There are times that I come in and I, you know, somebody calls me right as I'm opening the door and I forget to put them back there. And so then the next day I go to leave, it's like, oh, where are my keys? You know, when we get thrown off our little routines, it's like, what happened? Where did it change? What happened in that moment? And the beauty is, as you get a little more organized, it gets easier as you're going through it. So that, all right, I had to spend 5 minutes looking for my keys. That's much better than if I had to spend 25 minutes looking for my keys. And I only had to do it this one time. I don't have to do it every day this way. And that's to me the important thing, is to have to look at, where are we wasting time? Often, you know, any kind of effort that we put into it, it's going to take time. To get organized takes time. But how much time do we spend not being organized? How much time do we spend looking for our keys or looking for our paperwork or looking for the tools that we need? That to me is where we start to use mindfulness and to say, oh, I'm wasting a lot of time. Let me put an hour into this, or let me put 20 minutes into this today. And later on, I know eventually it will start to pay off.
Right. Well, that's, mindfulness, I think, is why that is such a great therapy for ADHD. Because that's actually the losing your keys is like the quintessential ADHD problem. And you hear a friend of mine that does this show quite a bit. She's got her own blog, Black Girl Lost Keys. Like it's that universal.
Yeah.
And I even say in one of my, on my website, if putting a basket or, you know, for your keys right by the door was going to work for you, it would have worked by now, you know? And so maybe the problem isn't really, do I have the perfect basket or do I put the basket in the perfect place? But maybe a basket and keys for you isn't going to be the answer.
Right.
Maybe it's something else. And then that's where the coaching goes into how does your brain, what associations do you make? It's so individual.
Yeah, very much so. And that's part of what I look at with the organized mindfully. It's that mindfulness part, that what is working for me? Because there isn't a cookie cutter system. Otherwise, we'd be all set in the world. Everybody would do the same thing. That's not the way it works.
It's so nice to hear you say that, though, because you're dealing with even just the broad general public, these 143 countries of people wanting to know how to organize. Yeah. And so that's your underlying message. Then is that it's unique to you or
well
words in your mouth?
Yeah, I don't know if it's my underlying message. I think that, you know, when I look at the book as it's coming together, the mindfulness really is the underlying message to each part of the organizing. And so in a sense, it is that individualize what works for you, because as you're mindful, as I said earlier, it doesn't matter to me if you like to organize it by color, by year that you bought it, by size. None of that matters to me. What works for you? And so, yeah, in a sense, it is very individualized, although I've not looked at it that way. But by using mindfulness and being aware, that's exactly what you're doing. You're taking the time to see, okay, the basket, I don't care about putting my keys in the basket. I would rather put them on the countertop right near the door. Perfect. That's what works for you.
Right. So what do you do in your own personal life? Like, where do you keep your, keys in a basket?
I keep them on a hook right next to the door, and it's nothing fancy. It's just a nail. I mean, I've made it about as simple as I can make it.
Right. And it works.
And there are others that would love to have a beautiful gold hook with a label on it, with, you know, engraved in wood. That's great too, because that's what works and it inspires you. For me, it's about simplicity. I just want to, there's a nail. I can put it right there.
Right. And so I heard on one of your, I heard somewhere you have Ingrid, right?
Yes.
Is with you. Do you guys have the same organizational systems?
Oh, goodness, no. No, not at all. Not at all. We are complete opposites on the Myers-Briggs. I am an ESTJ and she is an INFP. We approach things very differently. And I think that's something too that's kind of cool, because I've done a lot of work with Myers-Briggs and at the Meditation Center. Actually, all of us have gone and taking the test for Myers-Briggs. So you get to see the variety that is out there and the different combinations. And what's great about that is you start to see the benefits of all of it. So me as an extrovert, I put me in front of 100, 1,000 people. I am having a great time. If you were to put Ingrid up there, she would panic. So we don't put Ingrid up in front of 1,000 people, but I can go up and do that. But she can, by being the introvert, she can take her skills and do things that I can't sit there and do. It's just, I want to get out and talk to 1,000 people. And so that's looking at those differences with everybody. What works for you? What works for me? And then with partnerships, the key is, of course, accepting that's the way the other person does it. And for me, what I've really tried to do with people that I work with and with anybody is just to see that your style and my style may not be the same, but together we can be so much better than individually. And that's the beauty of it, that you can take someone that is very organized and someone that's disorganized, and they can each come together and benefit one another. Because somebody that's completely organized, everything has to be exact. Everything has to be lined up perfectly. Everything has to be a certain way. There's not relaxation often in that. And so if you take somebody that can take it from the other extreme and you come together, it kind of that middle path, it's always that way. You know, it's the two extremes coming together often will produce so much more.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I do couples coaching too. And it's a big problem when, and this happens a lot of, I guess, I don't know if it's opposites attract or you know what, but that does, or I only see them when there's a problem. And so if they're not the same, it's an issue, you know, but they do, there's friction. If she keeps her stuff this way, he does this. And it's this judgment, yeah. I think, that they really have the problem with. Yeah. It's more than even the stuff. But it can be a problem when one of the people's like a hoarder.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I don't know. Do you ever deal with anybody like that? Like,
I've not worked with anybody that is a hoarder. And a lot of the guests that I've had on the podcast are professional organizers. And they will tell you right up front that some of them will work with hoarders and some of them won't. Because there's as you know, from a therapy point of view, there's a very specific way that you want to help support somebody that's dealing with hoarding issues. And so those that have those types of concerns, you want to make sure you're working with somebody that knows what they're doing, just like anything. You want yeah. the right professional to talk to you because there's ways that you are processing things that the right person can really help you. But somebody that doesn't know, they're not speaking your language.
Right. And with hoarding, I know from just the research I've done on it and the experience I've had with it, they're saying there's even an organic component in the brain that is triggering this or helping, you know, making this happen. And absolutely, if you meet one of those organizers like, this is what you do, it's not going to yeah. help.
Yeah, no, not at all. You have to have the right fit.
Right. And I know from my own, I'm thinking when you were talking with my own husband, he's that type that's very rigid. Everything has to go where it has to go or else it's almost his perception, but things are crazy. It touches his emotions.
Mm.
And I think how we organize is a reflection, like you said, is it in our mind? Maybe it's an emotional, there's an emotional component to it.
Yeah, I think there's emotional, there's a lot tied up in it. You know, currently I'm renovating this office where I'm speaking from and things are everywhere. And sometimes it gets to the feeling of like, okay, enough. I just want it back in order. But I think what helps me with it is I know where it's going to go. You know, I think of, I've mentioned this a few times with folks that David Allen was on the podcast of Getting Things Done. And he spoke about his, when he's cooking and he's a messy cook, like he gets creative and there's stuff going everywhere. But because he has an organizational system, as he's starting, he knows when he goes to reach that the paprika will be where he expects the paprika to be. And yet at the end, you might look at the kitchen and say, wow, this guy doesn't have organization. No. It's just that right now he was in that creative process. He'll get it back into order. And I think that that's something that, you know, some people do. They stress out like, no, I can't ever get out of order. But that's not how life works, unfortunately. It'd
right.
be nice if everything was always like a magazine and we knew it's going right. to be here. I could pick it up. But the reality is it will slightly shift and change. And that's the natural flow of things, that everything is constantly changing. I mean, if we really get into the fine details, everything right now around us is breaking down very slowly, like so slowly we can't even see it. But if you were to wait and walk away from this planet for 200 years and come back, it would be covered in trees and plants, and our houses would start to be taken back over, and mold would take over.
Yeah, Planet of the Apes. Yeah,
exactly. It would change, and all of a sudden, there's a Statue of Liberty laying on her side. Yeah.
Yeah. And then who's going to come and clean up that?
Oh boy, there's an organizational project that we have. I mean, that's when my podcast will just be so important.
I know. Well, you know, another thing that intrigued me about you was not only the topic and subject of your business, because it's so relevant to what I do, but also your podcast and that as an aspect of your business. And I have a lot of clients who also are solopreneurs and doing their own business. And they do some podcasting, they do blogging. We all seem to be out here trying to like flourish in this new world, you know, of communication and technology and, you know, making a living out of it. And I saw you do Patreon and I was like, I do Patreon. And, you know, there's a lot of, I didn't know if you, how you got turned on to that or what, you know, 'cause it's a creative thing. It's for creative people.
It is. Patreon's something that I've started, and I'm not sure if it's going to work for me. I really am curious to see. I thought it might really take off, and I saw it as a way to stay connected with the audience and to do webinars and things like that that I would be offering. I don't know yet if it's going to work. It's really so new. And I also looked at it as a way that I could then not have commercials on the podcast.
Me which too. Might be interesting. That's why I started it.
Yeah.
I said, this is the way that, you know, and also I could get out some sample coaching and, you know, just all expand it. So yeah. I was curious how that was working for you.
I was thinking it might be an interesting way to go. And it's all like a, you know, people are supporting this completely. That's not typical in the West. I know that in, you know, other countries, things like that, especially in religious type things, there are things where it's completely supported by donors and different things.
Right. Well, I see on Patreon, bands seem to do really well.
Yeah.
Their fan base will play for music. And so I don't know if we're just starting it new, like this podcast, or I don't know how many, you know, we'll see. I don't know if it'll take off in the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do know they have, you have your fans and you have people that, you know, are listening to the show.
Yeah. So, oh boy, are they ever. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Use this endless opportunity to expand on a topic you love.
Yeah.
You know,
and to connect with them. That's to me is one of the key things that something like Patreon allows is that connection to the people who are listening.
And give your link right now, if you would. I'll put it in the show notes too. But
sure, it's very easy. I've set it up that if you go to organizemindfully.com/OMTEAM, that's OMTEAM, it will take you directly to that page.
Perfect. Yeah. 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 And I totally cut you off. What were you saying?
No, that's great. It's curious to see where this will all go. That's kind of the thing is to just be open to what might happen. As I said earlier, you know, the book was what I was looking at. Okay, the podcast is taking off. All right, Patreon, oh, commercials, who knows where it goes.
Right.
And to have that, again, going back to that rigidity. If I wanted it to go a certain way, that's when we get stuck often. That's when we, and it's not that we don't want to have the intention. This is where I want it to go. But to keep being open. And again, that's where mindfulness comes in. If I see that Patreon is working, then that's where I want to keep going with it. And I can keep working towards that. But if I see it's not, I can change the way I'm going about it. I can look at different venues or different ways to get there. Or I might say, you know what? That's not the direction for me to go in right now. Let me go in this direction. It's the same thing that we do with the organizing. What works for you? And be mindful of that. Be aware and keep going in the direction that's working for you.
Well, so let me ask you, if you were to do a show, because you were talking about studio and maybe some TV, like if you were going to do a show, what are your thoughts as if I'm a viewer and I'm curious, like, oh, help me organize, or what's new in the organizing realm? What are you thinking of showing?
Well, a few different things. One has been to go through the 7 steps that I'm working on and to kind of break that down to help people to understand it. Again, going back to like David Allen, I went through one of his programs years ago. And I remember him saying it takes like 2 years for people to really get his system down. And I remember at the time, like, oh, that's crazy. You know, there's no way that I can commit that kind of time. But what it is, it's not that you're committing 2 years of intensive work. It's that we're making changes, and any kind of change takes time. And so if I want to go from this direction of being disorganized to this direction of being organized, there's little steps along the way that I'll get more comfortable with, and I'll see successes, and I'll move forward with. And then that helps inspire me into the next part of it. And so after a couple of years, I'd say, yeah, I kind of understood much better what the getting things done system was about. And so I see possibly doing, you know, a webinar where we go through the 7 steps of how to organize mindfully, and just simply checking in, keeping in touch with people, because we all need that kind of support.
Yes. Yes. Well, I started doing webinar workshops myself. And so you sound very similar to me, because I have my book, my big book that I'm still writing. And then I extrapolated the model that I created to understand ADHD separately. Mm. So I thought, well, if I could put that out and do webinar workshops because it breaks it down, just like what you're saying. Yeah. But the podcast was a way, because the thing about ADHD is that it just affects everyone in the world. Even if you don't have it personally, I guarantee you know someone who does. Mm-hmm. Or you're related to someone who does. And therefore, a big part of my, like, if I have a goal, is the anti-stigma around all things mental, because mm-hmm. my family, and ADHD, I don't classify as a mental illness, but it gets categorized as that because it's in the DSM. And then I thought, well, people could just understand that it's just people, they're just processing different,
yeah.
you know, then there's really no one not to talk with. And then I get to meet cool people like you mm-hmm. who, you know, it touches on something I talk about a lot. But you have a whole world of people who just want to get organized, want to or sell their systems or their skills. How do you find guests? Like, what's your criteria?
Finding guests has been one of the easiest parts of the whole process. It really has. And for me, it's been Twitter. I go on Twitter and I find one person that is a professional organizer, and Twitter, thank you very much, gives me three people that I might be interested in talking to. And usually two out of those three people at least are also professional organizers. And, you know, in the beginning I was like, oh, I want all the big names. I really want to get everybody that's, you know, has thousands of followers, because that will get me thousands of followers.
Oh.
And I do that, but I've also found it doesn't matter, because the person that has 30 followers still has great information to share. And
yeah.
that's the key thing. And so it's been so easy to find guests, because there's a lot of people doing this kind of work. And so I just reach out. I simply ask them if they'd be interested in coming on the podcast, and many are. And so it's been something that right now I have plenty of them all set and ready to go, that I don't have, you know, I could go for another several weeks without even talking to anybody. And I have plenty of interviews already in the bank, so to speak.
Waiting. Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Yeah. You know, that's interesting that you're saying, yeah, because most people that do ADHD podcasts that I've seen have their guests are all these experts, and in the medical or psychological realm. And they'll also have some people that are, you know, have ADHD, but have a business they want to promote. And so I thought, well, I just would like, what if I talked to just anybody, like, yeah. and didn't have that criteria. And so I see now that I've had some guests that have followers, like you said, on Twitter, and I've had guests that have no followers on Twitter. And that doesn't seem to determine how many people are going to listen to that program.
Or what they might say. They might say something, you know, it can be somebody that, you know, as you talk about how we, you know, the ADHD, that the reality is I can sit down at the computer and I can start looking at Facebook, and 3 hours later, I realize I've been on the computer and I didn't get to do the one thing is I wanted to do. And so it doesn't take an expert. And actually, one of the beauties is when you talk to a whole variety of people, yes, you can get the expert opinions. You can get their thoughts and understand the logic behind it. But when you talk to somebody, they just say, yeah, I do that too.
Yes.
It helps us all connect in a way. And from there, we can learn so much more.
Yes, that's what it's about. It's about the connectivity and being able to see through the other's eyes, which is why I came up with see in ADHD. It's like, if I can see, if it really came from understanding my family. I was like, if I could, and I kept saying, if I could just see what you're talking about. And then I was like, oh, it's almost sort of like seeing, you know, something that's invisible, you know? So it came from that, but it's sprung into a life of its own. And I love podcasting. Now tell me the truth. Do you like writing the book better, podcasting, or speaking? Do you speak?
I will do public speaking. I love public speaking. But the podcasting is like a controlled public speaking in a sense. Now, today, as an example, I started at 9 this morning, and I think just about every hour I have been either talking to somebody that's coming on my podcast and I'm doing the interview, or I've been on somebody else's podcast, just like we're doing here. I could do this every single day.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore it. I love connecting with people. You know, I look back to Christy B, who is a professional designer and was an organizer. She was on, I think, the third or fourth episode. I'm not sure which number of the podcast. And it was just, that's the kind of thing. Like, I still remember that conversation that we had months ago. And I love talking with the people and the guests that have been coming on the podcast. And then on the other extreme, getting the emails from people and hearing how much of a difference it makes. And that,
oh yeah,
they've been, you know, organizing the things in their life, and that their family and their husband and their kids, it's changing things for them. It's exciting, and it feels so rewarding in so many ways. I love that kind of stuff. So you get to do the part of what we're doing now is talking and having fun and knowing that it can help somebody and help somebody feel a little more connected, because there's nothing worse than sitting there and thinking you're the only one that has to deal with this. You know, you're the only one that can't sit down and focus. You're the only one that can't organize the things in your life. Well, that's not true. There are thousands and millions of us who are struggling with that too. And so what we can do is we come together as a community. And from there, we can just support one another. It's beautiful.
I just got goosebumps.
I did too. That's why I choked up for a minute.
I'm like, yes. Yes, absolutely.
It's one of the reasons, as I started doing the podcast, my mom is a, you know, she's retired, but that doesn't mean she's not doing anything. She has a friend that has a cleaning business. And now cleaning and organizing is slightly different. There's definitely a difference to it, but they're connected. And one of the inspirations I had is that as I'm doing this, I know that there are people just like my mom, and my mom does listen to me. As far as the podcast goes, she listens to the podcast, I should say, that there are people out there and they're doing these things and they just want someone to connect to so that they can keep doing what they're trying to do and to offer that inspiration. I do the same thing. I turn to others as well for those kind of ideas and that support that inspire me in areas that I'm interested in. I think that's one of the beauties of what's come out of the internet is we get such incredible access so that we can develop those skills and develop those interests. It's wonderful.
It is. And it's just amazing to make a connection with, where do you live?
I'm in Massachusetts.
Yes. Okay. I did hear you say that before, the Boston accent. And when you said, you must know this is the Boston accent, I thought to myself, you don't have a strong Boston accent though.
Well, you can park a car.
But I'm in New York.
So yeah, that's right.
It's
that's
not it. Terribly, terribly different.
It's pretty close.
I know. But I want to thank you because I just knew that I was so interested to meet you in person. I hope to meet you again, you know, and I will be having clients listen to you. And as you expose everyone to more greater ways of organizing, but how to mindfully think about it, it's just really inspiring. You inspire me. So,
well, thank you. Well, thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate it because I hear that a lot, that the professional organizers will talk about, you know, when you're struggling and you need to organize, sometimes those that have ADHD are also struggling. It's like, of course, well, we all are, aren't we all, you know?
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. Cause it's, I think it was, David Allen did a couple shows. I was listening to those and I thought to myself, you know, this just resonates with so many people I know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're doing good work. You're putting out really useful information and providing people access to other people, which is what I like to do too. You know, it's like we're all connected.
We are.
So, okay. Well, thank you. And I will talk to you later, Mark.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. I really enjoy speaking with you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.